Okay, is everybody done? You can also do the exercises at home if you want. Let's continue with some historical backdrop. Of course, our work has a lineage. For instance, auscultation and percussion as examination methods in medicine that the doctor can apply without needing more than his hands and a stethoscope has been invented by René Laennec around 1800. But the cultural technique of computational data analysis started in the 1940s. The computers back then used mechanical relays as processors. These emitted sound, which gave a valuable feedback to the engineers and users about the state of the program execution. That sounded like this. When the relays were replaced by transistors in the following decade, the sound of the machines vanished, but with it also sonic feedback was gone. Therefore, electromagnetic pickups were used to pass the electronic activity of the machines onto loudspeakers. Here, I've got some recordings of this on my computer. Must be somewhere there with me. There. People thought this epistemic practice would vanish when the first visual computer systems and more complex operating systems came up, but it didn't. While the mainstream of computing culture was visual, there was a vivid niche that addressed the sonic qualities of computing and especially the interaction with machines. From the beginning, this was driven by many visually impaired pioneers that felt left out by the vision-based academia and developed their own tools and sonic operating systems with audible and tangible user interfaces in competition to the graphical user interfaces of the sighted masses. They even created special-made circuits for physical modeling. This was rather hacky back then and used a combination of digital and analog techniques. For instance, the SoundCube 512 acoustic expander. It was developed by Vasily Moroyev around 1985 and used a 3D matrix of 8x8x8 grid nodes connected with metal springs. These could be reconfigured electronically in order to change their sonic characteristics. This was one of the direct forerunners of the finite element models that we use in our sonic analysis tools today. I've got one here. It doesn't work anymore since some parts in the driver module broke. And even if it worked, it would be hard to interface it with today's computers, of course. But here, I can excite the system by hand. There is still a data matrix loaded into the grid of springs. It's a non-volatile analog memory here. Let me amplify it with the microphone. Yes, that's better. There are some noticeable clusters in this set. Can you hear? Yeah. Can you hear that? I got this from a friend who bought it secondhand, so we don't know which data it holds and who used it before. The sonic practice was small and ignored for many years, but then a historical event took place. John Adrian, who worked at Goldman Sachs as a visually impaired data analyst at the beginning of the 1990s, happened to be connected with the grassroots garage scene in California. Adrian was trained in traditional data analytics, but saw the potential of the emerging sonic epistemologies and proposed to found a research center within his corporation. He happened to receive the funding for an initial 3 years contract and got in a couple of friends that worked in the same field. The visually dominated market did not demand more than CD quality reproduction of sound, and so the improvement in sound processors was stalled for many years already. They had to improvise to get hold of enough computing power for the visions, and what they came up with was very clever. They hijacked the emerging parallel computing power of graphics cards and applied it to their sonic research. When real-time acoustic ray tracing became available, the golden era began. What was bound to 512 notes before in the 1980s, and therefore was rather a proof of concept than a real application, was freed from its limit. All of a sudden, the data analysts could model problems with millions and even billions of data points and apply realistic acoustics and physics to it in real time. All this was made possible through hardware advances for video games and 3D visual effects in cinema. More and more sonic data analysts appeared in documentaries and news reports, and therefore working in sonic epistemologies became known and attractive. But most of them are visually impaired. Not that the sighted would not be interested in this work, but the blind outperformed them. Okay, now we are working on some real-world briefs. Data can be represented as a material sonification, and this is the foundational principle of most data analytics that we are working on. Imagine a three-dimensional space that is filled with a material, but not in a homogeneous way, but with areas of varying density and even holes. We remodel this materiality in digital space according to physical simulations and excite this algorithmic space in order to understand the structure of the volume and therefore the structure of the data set. That's why it's called epistemic acoustics. We use sound to find something out. This can be compared to many, many practices in the physical world. For instance, if you want to examine the healthiness of a tree, looking for empty spaces behind walls, rust in a car, or even to assess the ripeness of a cheese wheel. It's a simple but powerful principle. You knock on the surface of a volume in order to find something out about its inside. But in our case, we map high-dimensional datasets into a simulated materiality, which allows you not only to hear variations in density, but many different qualities at once, and to correlate them with each other. Okay, let's jump right into an applied example. Please load up the file example 1.1. You will find the dataset from a car insurance company. The set contains 1 million archived accidents. Your brief is to develop recommendations on how to improve the insurance plans of the company. All data is, of course, anonymized for educational purpose. The set is quite thorough. It features many aspects, such as the age of the driver, the time of the accident, the involved cars, alcohol and drug test results, geography, etc. Use the interface to create different correlations of the available parameters and experiment with them. For instance, there. We can hear the driver's age in correlation to the speed of the accident. You can clearly hear how there is more density in the area that represents the younger drivers. Can you hear? If I plug the system down there, compared to the areas over here, like this. Can you hear? Okay, now it's your turn. I will come to your desk one after the other to discuss what you came up with. Let me know if you need help.
What do you think the sounds we were using, or what the...
No, it's just really interesting. You can really go into that space. I found that each of the characters
I would find it really...
There are no sounds.
Yeah, that might be a point with me being
from the very beginning to the very end of this story.
I don't know.